Good morning, church. Welcome to online worship this morning. It's great to be able to worship together with you, and it's an exciting month for us. So December is exciting because Christmas is here and we have a lot of things going on for us. So for the past month or for the past few weeks, we have been doing this series called Upside Down God. And in this series, we are looking at the life of Jesus, and the life of Jesus reveals who God is, reveals the characteristic of God. So this morning, we'll be singing a few songs to help us remind ourselves and to remember the name of Jesus and to remember the name of God, to know us, to know who God is. So allow me to read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, to help us reflect upon the name of Jesus this morning. So this is what it says. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let us rise, let us pray and prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Lord, we just want to give thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ. And we want to give thanks and praise you, for your name is above all names and you are above everything. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts for worship, prepare our ears to receive what you have shared with us this morning, and allow us to dwell in your presence every single moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Triumphant, oh come ye. born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, oh come let us adore him. Oh come let us adore him. Oh come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh come let us adore.
His name shall be Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be Everlasting Father. His name shall be Prince of Peace, Mighty God. His name shall be Emmanuel. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be Everlasting Father. His name shall be Prince of Peace, Mighty God. His name shall be Emmanuel. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be Everlasting Father. His name shall be Prince of Peace, Mighty God. His name shall be Emmanuel. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of
the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation. beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you
compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again.
You have
yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name,
Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Counselor, everlasting Father, mighty God, Prince of Peace, King of all kings, Emmanuel, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the name above all names, worthy is your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love, sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He is our Savior. So we have come to praise you joyfully, humbly, and to come to rejoice at this good news. Praise the Lord. Praise be to the Lord, for he has come to his people and redeemed them. Please be seated, everyone.
When I was a kid, probably when I was around 5 or 6 years old, I was living with my big extended family in Hong Kong. I was living with my grandparents, my parents, my aunts, and my uncles in a very small apartment in Hong Kong. We weren't rich or anything, but we actually have a live-in maid or domestic servant, and her name is Miss Yong. Now, Miss Yong is a very traditional Chinese servant. She has long, black braided hair, and she always wears a traditional white blouse and black pants. And she wears it in such a way that's almost as if they were like uniforms. And even to this day, I still remember her face, probably because she was very kind to me. Every day she dressed me, she prepared 3 meals a day, she make sure that I'm well fed, and make sure I woke up on time. And in a way, she makes me feel like a king because she serves me every day. And she would even address me as the little master. And I felt good. I think it was just human nature to be wanted to be served, right? To be treated like a king or a queen. Now, when we think of someone higher up like a king or an emperor, we think of someone with power and authority. Someone who can order people around and someone who can punish people or even execute them if the people do not listen to them. And the king would not take no for an answer. And he has tons of people to serve him. The best cooks, the best entertainers, the best tailors, the best of the best. Basically, someone who would put himself first over and above everyone else. Now, I want you to take a look at this picture. It is a rather simple and mundane picture. Here's a man holding up an umbrella, walking in the rain with two other ladies. Now, of course, we know this is no ordinary man. This is the former US President Barack Obama holding an umbrella. Now, to give you some context of this picture, President Obama was just getting off the helicopter when there was just pouring rain. And guess what? He is the only one person with the umbrella. Believe it or not, in the Marine One, which is the president's official helicopter, there's only one umbrella. Now, as the president, he could have walked quickly back to the White House with the umbrella in his own hand, and no one would blame him, right? I mean, he's the president of the United States after all. But what he chose to do, though, was to stand in the rain and wait for two of his staff. Now, as they walk back to the White House under that one umbrella, you can see that the sleeve of his suit was soaking wet, simply because he wanted to make sure that his staff are well protected from the pouring rain. Now, even more interesting, you can actually find a video clip of this whole incident on YouTube. And guess how many views it has gotten over the years since 2015 on YouTube? More than 28 million views and is counting. And guess how many comments it has received since then? More than 25,000 comments and counting. Even as of today, people are still commenting on the video about how a former president doing a very simple gesture, holding an umbrella for someone who is supposed to be inferior or below him. Now, I find it really, really interesting that we're still fascinated when someone with great power and authority performs an act of kindness serving others, especially those who are below them. Because even to this day, this is something that we do not expect from someone in that position. And we certainly would never expect a God that would do this kind of thing. Now, today we are concluding our sermon series on the upside down God. And we will once again learn how Jesus will actually turn our world upside down again this morning. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus, as a Jewish man from Galilee, came to this earth and claims himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And this is what he says about himself as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What Jesus says back then is so anti-establishment and so anti-culture. I mean, when we think of God, we would think of a superior being, right? Someone like a king that is waiting to be served, right? He is powerful and he exists to rule over us, to demand us to follow his commandments. And he loves it when we worship him and adore him. After all, it is our human nature to please some higher form of deity, because we're thinking maybe when we're nice to God, he will be nice to us and grant me the things that I want. So you can imagine the people at the time and the disciples' reaction when they heard what Jesus says, that he, the King of Kings and Son of Man, is here to serve. To the people at that time, that is just a brand new, shocking idea. What Jesus says back then literally turns the world and expectation of the people at the time upside down. Simply because in their mind, Jesus is here to rule as a king. He was here to conquer the Roman Empire and reestablish the state of Israel. I mean, they saw all the miracles that Jesus has performed, right? And I'm sure there's no doubt in their mind when they look at some of the miracles that Jesus performed. For example, if Jesus can calm the sea, he can certainly conquer the Roman Empire with a snap of a finger. So exactly what does Jesus mean when he says he is here to serve? Does that mean that we are the king now and that he is now our servant? And we can just boss him around and tell him what to do? One of Jesus' disciples, John, recorded a story that happened in the evening before Jesus was betrayed and arrested. And that story will perhaps shed some light and answer the question that we have. And we know this story is true because John was right there when it happens. In fact, what John has recorded is one of the most powerful things that Jesus has done. And it does not even involve a miracle. It was just a very simple but profound act of kindness. Jesus himself would demonstrate what does it mean to be a servant God. And this is how the story goes. Jesus was gathering with his 12 disciples for one final supper just before the Passover. Now, to give you some background, in those times, people travel mostly by foot, and the roads are very, very dirty. And when they walk, they actually wear sandals, though their feet would become very, very dirty. And it was at that time, it was a custom that when a person entered a house, they would have their feet washed before they eat. And you know what, at the time, washing someone's feet, I think even now, washing someone's feet is so degrading and yucky that a master would not even require a Jewish slave to do it. In fact, washing feet is the job of a Gentile slave, the lowest of the lowest slaves. Now, when Jesus and the disciples gather around, their feet had not been washed yet. But among the disciples, no one would want to wash each other's feet because no one wants to do the dirty work of a slave. And no one wants to lower his status down to the level of a slave. And this is how the story begins. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Now, Jesus knows that his time had finally come to be crucified. and God has given all things under his power. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were Jesus, what would you do? If you are God and you can do anything that you want with the power that God has given you, what are you going to do? When you look at this group of disciples that have followed you for the last 3 years, what would you do? Well, perhaps Jesus is thinking, well, I'm going to suffer a lot in a few hours. I'm going to have a really rough time coming up. I think I better rest up. I think I better take a break, be prepared for these tough moments. I mean, I am these guys' masters, and I am their Lord, right? Maybe I should get one of these guys to do the dirty work. Hey, you, Judas, before you betray me, why don't you get up, get a basin of water, and wash my feet? And while you're at it, wash the other 11 guys' feet as well. Or maybe I should pick on Peter. Before, you know, the guy who's going to deny me 3 times, maybe I should get him to do the dirty job. But Jesus did none of that. Instead, Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. I mean, the first thing that Jesus did was he changed his clothes into a servant's outfit. And can you imagine what the disciples' reaction must be like when they saw Jesus? I mean, the Messiah, the Son of God, takes off his outer clothes and wraps a towel around his waist, kneeled down in front of them. John continues. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, just imagine this. As Jesus reaches out to clean his disciples' feet, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, humbles himself to take up the work of a slave. I can imagine the absolute silence in that room, except maybe for the sound of the splashing water as Jesus was washing the disciples' feet and getting his own hands dirty. And can you imagine the absolute shock on the disciples' face? A Christian author, M. Scott Peck, perhaps summarized best the significance of this event in Jesus' life in this following writing. Listen to what he said. Until that moment, the whole point of things had been for someone to get on top. And once he had gotten on top, to stay on top, or else attempt to get further up. But here, this man already on top, who was rabbi, teacher, master, suddenly got down on the bottom and began to wash the feet of his followers. In that one act, Jesus symbolically overturned the whole social order. Hardly comprehending what was happening, even his own disciples were almost horrified by his behavior. When you think about it, really, that shouldn't be really that big of a surprise, actually, especially to the disciples at that time who have followed Jesus for 3 years. When you look back at Jesus' life through the 4 Gospels, it is full of Jesus' service to others. And those are not just any people that Jesus served. Those are people that are often being looked down by others at the time. I mean, Jesus fed thousands of people. He heals the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He stopped to touch and heal a sick woman. And he spent time with those no one else cared to spend time with. So perhaps it is when the disciples are finally on the receiving end of their service, the true nature of their masters finally sticks to the disciples' mind. I mean, throughout Jesus' life, we can see that Jesus loves to serve, and he serves to love. because serving is a manifestation of God's love for his people. In this story, we have seen the most profound revelation of the heart of God. He is not a God that uses power to benefit himself, not a God that serves himself. He is not a God that bosses people around for his own benefit. But the heart of a servant God that is full of humility and love to serve his people. And the question is, as disciples and followers of Jesus, what can we do in return? Do we just turn around and serve Jesus and worship him and make Jesus feel good? Is that what Jesus expects of us as his disciples in return? Listen to what John writes next. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place and asked his disciples, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. I think the disciples at the time are still so shocked that they don't know what to say or how to answer Jesus' questions. So Jesus continues, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Note that Jesus did not say, "Now that you have washed my feet, you come back and wash my feet." Or, "You stretch my back, I stretch your back." No, it didn't work that way. Jesus does not need us to serve him back. But rather, what Jesus said was, "Now that I have washed your feet, you wash one another's feet." Jesus wants us to follow his example of serving others. Jesus wants us to pay it forward. Jesus lived a life full of humility and love and compassion, and he wants his followers and disciples to do the same. Jesus knows that this is a concept that is very difficult for us to understand, and that's why he demonstrated how it's being done right in front of the disciples. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, kneels down in front of his disciples. He gets down low and humbles himself, and he takes up the posture of a servant to show what is it like to live a life with humility and love and compassion. As Christians, we are called to serve others as Jesus has served. This means that we have to get our hands dirty. We have to get out of our comfort zone. This means laying ourselves down for others. And it will take a lot of humility. But we will become part of God's glorious salvation plan as we live others. But Jesus says there is more. "Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You see, you will be blessed if you serve others just as Jesus has served you. According to God, greatness is not measured by how much possession you have. Greatness is not measured by how many people that you have or friends that you have on Facebook, or how many people serve under you, or how many followers you have on your Instagram. No, it is actually the other way around. Greatness is measured by how many people that you serve. I mean, Jesus is the upside down God. And in the upside down kingdom of God, greatness is measured by how many people that you have served. But sadly, in the world and culture that we live in, we still care too much about our own image, or how many people adore us on Instagram, on our Facebook, how many views do we have of our post, how much attention are we getting? I mean, just look at some of the royalties and leaders of the world. Many of them are still living extravagantly while their fellow citizens suffer tremendously, especially during this pandemic. Many of these so-called leaders and presidents are still putting their own well-being well before the people that they're supposed to serve. And they will do whatever it takes to hang on to power, even if hundreds of thousands of people are dying from the pandemic. But Jesus came and showed us that we need to counter this self-serving culture with a revolution. A revolution that Jesus started 2,000 years ago. And today, He is calling you to continue this revolution. Join the fight, not as a self-serving rebellion, but as a servant. A servant that serves others in Jesus' name because He serves us first. I mean, throughout Jesus' short 30-some-odd years of His life, He gave us a face. Jesus showed us who God is, someone who came to serve and make life better for others. And Jesus wants you to follow Him. Because following Jesus is the only right way to live. We live not just simply to worship God and to praise Him, but to follow Him. Follow His example of being a servant to others. And when we serve others, the world, we know that it is Jesus who rules our lives. And that becomes our signature. When Jesus rules in our lives, we go from self-centered to others-centered. Serving others helps us make this change. And during this pandemic, perhaps we have all been asking God this question. Where is the vaccine, God? Where is it? When is it going to come? And perhaps the only answer that you have gotten so far is that it is coming. It is coming. I just don't know when. But what if Jesus this morning is asking you this question? Instead of asking when the vaccine is coming, or when is this all going to end, is there something that you can do for one another? Is there something that you can do to serve one another during this pandemic, as just as I have shown you this morning? I know, right? I mean, whenever we are talking about serving each other, somehow a mental block just descends into our heart and our mind. When we think of serving, it is so hard, so big, so burdensome. But guess what? To serve does not mean you need to do big, big things. Right now, in the middle of a second wave of a pandemic, it could be as simple as just putting on a mask, practice social distancing, and washing your hands. Those are not big, big things. Those are small things. But the most important thing is you are putting others' needs above your own needs. In a few weeks, we will be celebrating Christmas. And this Christmas is going to be very, very different. There's probably not going to be any big parties or any big dinners. It is going to be a small gathering among your own immediate family, probably. But I think it's going to be a perfect time for us to serve those around us that are closest to us. Some of you may be off school and you may have a little bit more time than usual. Wouldn't it be great if you can help out around your home? And serving those that are closest to you may sound easy, but it is often the most challenging because we often take our family for granted. During the past year, with families being locked down in your own home, there is evidence that family problems are on the rise. Marriages are stressed, and divorce lawyers are getting more calls than ever. There are more strains between parents and children. So can you imagine if we all start to take the invitation from Jesus this morning and be a servant to our own family, and you can do this right after the worship service this morning. Go and help out wash the dishes, take out the garbage, do the dirty laundry, prepare breakfast or lunch for your parents, grandparents. Another problem that a lot of people found who are struggling with during this pandemic is loneliness and depression. And they are very real. Perhaps you are feeling the same thing yourself. But why don't you this morning make a commitment to reach out to one of your friends or relatives that you have not talked to for a long time? Send them a greeting. Send them a text. Send them a video. Send them a picture of your family. Chat with them with a video call. Or even better, throw a Zoom party so you can talk to them. Right now, we cannot serve your friends and family in person. But by reaching out to them, you can show them compassion and love. And remember, to serve is to put others' needs before your own needs. And doing all this stuff for sure will cause a lot of inconvenience. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes you might feel that those things are just a pain in the neck. But remember, in this upside-down kingdom of God, you will be blessed if you serve others with humility and compassion and love. Remember in the beginning of the sermon, Jesus told us this: "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." When you think about it, Christmas is not just another holiday, but time to celebrate the ultimate service that Jesus has done for us. Jesus is the King of Kings, but yet he came here to serve you and me. A king that would even die on the cross and gave his life as the ransom for our lives. And let's be honest, how ridiculous does that sound? Have you ever thought of anyone who is ready to die for you? I mean, a president, at best, would hold an umbrella for you. But to die for you? Not in your lifetime. No one in the right time, really, will die for nobody. But you are not a nobody to Jesus. Your life is so precious to him that he is willing to become one of us to give God a face, to show you in person what God is like and how much he loves a nobody like you and me. And because of Christ living on the cross and raised from the dead, we are no longer a nobody. We can now be called God's daughter and sons. We can share the glory of God. And when we serve others, just as Jesus did, we help carry out God's glorious salvation plan. With all the bad news that we have heard in 2020, this is the good news. Not just in 2020, but for many, many centuries to come. So let me ask you this question. Would you consider letting Jesus into your lives and let him be the Lord of your life? Someone not to rule over you, but to let him serve alongside with you and to bring his upside-down kingdom to this world? If you do, would you follow me when I pray the following? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me a servant that you want me to be. And in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
trading your crown for a cross. You willingly died, your innocent life paid the cost. Counting your status as nothing, the King of all kings came to serve. Washing my feet, covering me with your love.
If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything.
The one that I can live without. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down.
Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. Oh Lord, change me like only you can. Here with my heart in your hands, Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. This world, it's dying to know who you are. You've shown us the way to your heart. So Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. Oh Lord, change me like only you can. Here with my heart in your hands, Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. This world is dying to know who you are. You've shown us the way to your heart. So Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us and mold us into becoming more like Jesus, the King of all kings, but counted his status as nothing, the one who humbled himself as a servant, washing our feet. Is he not worth our dedication? He has set the example. Father, I pray that you open our eyes and our hearts to see you. Grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know and follow you. Only you can change us. Only you can transform our hearts. Thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated, everyone.
We have come to the end of our worship today. I encourage you to continue participating in worship through offering. So offering is something that we can continuously practice. It's a spiritual discipline. So head over to mykac.ca. There are different ways that you can engage in offering. There is check, there's credit card, there's PayPal. So take a look over there, and I encourage you to practice this such that you can continue to worship God in your own way. So I have two announcements to share with you this morning. The first one is Christmas worship on the 20th. So we have put a lot of effort into this. It will be slightly different than usual. So we encourage you to invite your friends, or invite friends who have left the church, or people who do not know who Christ is. Invite them to join us online, to come and worship together, to listen to us discover why is Christmas still relevant? Why is it still important to us during this time? So I encourage you, share it with them, invite them, so that we can all share this good news and this gift with the people we care and people we love. So the second announcement is today we have our annual general meeting, AGM. So for those of you who are registered members, you would have received an email telling you that today is AGM. It would happen right after worship. It starts at 11:30. So I encourage you to log on to the Zoom before 11:30, because at 11:30 we will close the meeting and latecomers will not be accepted into the meeting. So be on time, be early, and all of you would have to log on to Zoom with your own device. If the two of you are a couple but you want to share the same device, that would not work. You are all encouraged to have your own devices and log in with your first and last name. Remember, it's your first and last name so that we could recognize who you are and we can take down your name and mark down your attendance and to make sure that everyone is there. So I highly encourage you to be early. So the moment worship ends, log on to Zoom, be ready and join us there. We have come to the end of today's Sunday worship. Let us rise and allow me to bless you with benediction taken from 1 Thessalonians. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12 and 13. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that He may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. So I pray that this week you will go forth with this blessing and that you can go forth in peace. See you next week.